Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, the 5 and 5, moments away. The home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, and be golden.
Chris, happy Cinco de Mayo and May the 4th be with you. A few days late.
Yeah, I had a big May the 4th be with me. I watched Star Wars. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on it. It was a good day to be on the road with a road night game.
Yeah, because you got to just watch it all afternoon.
It's weird how sometimes the universe sets up and tells you things are going to go the Bulldogs' way. So Saturday morning, it's so much easier to work out in the gym when you've got the TV in front of you. So I'm watching Return of the Jedi. I'm the only person in the gym. It's a really nice gym at the hotel. And they've also got a sound system with some music playing, just very light. You can adjust the volume how you like. So I'm watching Jedi. As soon as Jedi goes to commercial, the great rock ballad anthem. You know, everybody had back in the day, whether you were a hair band or whether you were kind of an old school 70s band, you had to have that power ballad, right? One of my favorites of all time, Cheap Trick's The Flame came on.
That's a bad song.
Come on, man. That's an all-time great.
That is not a good song.
Oh, it's a great song. So I go from Jedi to The Flame by Cheap Trick. I knew George was going to win. How can you not like The Flame?
Oh, The Flame.
How many times did you play that during your DJ days?
Let me tell you, the greatest power ballad of all time, and it's not even up for
debate.
Home
Sweet Home by Motley Crue.
It's Skid Row's I Remember You.
What about Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
No, it's Skid Row's I Remember You.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's number one. And
so you're just going to you're not even leaving any room for debate there.
No, as they say on Twitter, don't at me. That's the one.
But May the 4th be with you. As great as it was, I do have a Star Wars question for you in two parts, but I think we should do it at the end and maybe carry it over to the next segment.
Okay, well, I'll leave you a little room in today's 5 at 5 then.
If we get into Star Wars talk, it could pretty much eat an entire hour.
It could carry on.
Which is funny because I've got – and listen, we know everything we talk about here, it's not going to be for everybody's liking. But I was speaking to the Savannah Bulldog Club a couple of years ago, and a couple of young guys who just moved down there, went to school at Georgia. Oh, we listen to you and Brame every day. And said, oh, yeah, those guys, they talk about Seinfeld. They talk about Star Wars. It's awful. Then I've got some buddies who were, you know, in their 40s and 50s. Oh, we listen every day. Oh, but as soon as y'all go to Star Wars, I got to turn it. I'm like, I get it. We're not going to be there for
everybody. We can't be all things to all people.
Just most things to most people most of the time.
Right. Hey, where else are you going to hear about the Vegas Golden Knights to around these parts?
Exactly. We were on that train early.
Early on. Although I did discover the reason we fell in love with them, though, probably is flawed because it turns out, like, they're just as good a road team as they were a home team.
Oh, yeah. They're very good.
So they're just good. Somehow. They're an expansion team, and turns out they're good. But the whole idea of, like, this Vegas flu and teams would show up to Vegas and just, you know, spend a couple of days hanging out in Vegas and then be zombies when they play them, and it would lead to them winning all the time on home ice. Well, I mean, they win like just as much, if not more, on the road. So
it's an amazing story. And though I do think that's true, the Vegas flu, the fact that they've come out here in year one, they've made a conference finals, it's pretty darn remarkable. And it's not like they went out and signed a free agent like Sidney Crosby, who's the LeBron James of the NBA.
No, the only guy that I know is their goaltender or keeper, whatever. Marc-Andre Fleury. He was with the Penguins. I remember him from them.
Pens have been very impressive.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay ousted the Bruins. My man Tuukka Rask just getting killed up in Beantown.
I'm sure. Well, then how about, you know, the Chokettles? They got a chance to eliminate Pittsburgh tonight.
The thing with Washington, you know what? It might be good when they lost those first two at home to Columbus. To overcome that and win, maybe that means it's their year.
Yeah. I mean, they finally
– it's like they got almost to the bottom. Like, there's no way it can get any worse than this. And then they were able to turn it. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Nashville because I love the city, the downtown area. You know, I like my man Subban, and that city has really embraced him. But at the same time, I've got to root for Vegas if they're playing Nashville. But then for Winnipeg, I know how much that would mean for those people in Winnipeg. I mean, when they have shown not only the arena going nuts there, but just that downtown area outside of Winnipeg. And I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The population of Winnipeg is 700,000, 750,000. I swear it looks like half the city is crowding the downtown streets and went. So it's awesome. So the hockey playoffs have been great. The NBA semis, Bramer, dud. Hopefully we've got good conference finals.
I think we should. I mean, it looks like there's already set, basically. You're going to have Boston with just the wizard on the sideline there, Brad Stevens, and the best player, LeBron James, and then out west, the matchup that we basically have been waiting for all regular season, which is the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors.
That's a matchup we've been waiting on since Chris Paul signed with Houston.
Yeah, during the offseason. So as we start the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Let's start with a quick thought on the NBA playoffs. Jeff, last night, the Rockets beat the Jazz. The two teams in that game combined to go 16 for 67 from three-point range. That's 16 for 67. That 67 minus 16 is 51, correct? They missed 51 three-pointers combined. Jeff, question number one is, if you and I played one-on-one, could we shoot better than 16 out of 67 against each other from the NBA's three-point range?
If you gave me a month to kind of get back in the flow, I hadn't shot baskets in a long time, I think we could.
All right, so a little warm-up period, and then we could do better. If we shot 67 three-pointers, we could make at least 17.
Now, here's the thing. Does that mean those guys aren't guarding us?
I watched a little bit of that game. Some of those were open threes. I mean, it wasn't all just with, like, tight defense on there. It was just both teams were shooting pretty awful last night. I mean, 16 out of 67, that's terrible.
It's crazy how that can be contagious. If a team's shooting bad, everybody's going to shoot bad. It's amazing how that could happen. But, yeah, to have two pro teams shoot, so what, 16 out of 67, 67 is two-thirds of 100. So is that 24%?
It's like 24-25%.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Yeah. I feel like we could do better than that.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I could.
Oh, I definitely could have.
Back in the Now, if those guys were guarding me, I'd go 0 for whatever.
Well, this would be – yeah. Blocked. Now, if they were guarding us, yes, we would go 0 for infinity. But if it was just you and I were playing one-on-one –
Oh, yeah.
And we were shooting three-pointers from the same range, three-point. Could we, in a game between the two of us one-on-one, could we do better than 16 out of 67?
And everybody told me back in your day you were a big-time player.
I was a sniper.
And I know Ray Lewis had his eye on you.
He did. I made him mad.
Well, that was a good idea. You got away. You know, he's at worst or at best, whichever way you look at it, covered up a knifing murder.
That is correct.
Yes.
He did plead guilty to some form of obstructing justice, I believe.
And then the next year won Super Bowl MVP. It's like, is this the last Boy Scout?
Yeah. But I did bury a three in his face one time.
Did you say, how you like that, big boy?
I did not say anything to him, but the buddy of mine that was on my team said, yo, Ray Lewis is looking at you pretty mean right now. And I looked, and sure enough, he was.
Time for us to go.
He did not seem happy about that. All I remember is there was some big, like, offensive lineman who they just had in the paint. You know, I'm pretty sure, like, he was committing three-second violations constantly.
You didn't call him on that?
No. But he, you know, basically, he rebounded every missed shot. So either they got an easy layup out of a miss, or we better had made our shot, or it was done. So
no second chances.
No, I mean, they ended up blowing us out, but.
Yeah, you buried one.
I buried one right in Ray Lewis's face.
Right in your eye.
Yeah. Let me tell you, though, that guy, body fat, 0.0.
So that's pretty cool. So you've played hoops against Ray Lewis, and I talked to OJ on the phone one time. Now, this is before the double murder when I talked to the Jews. But
ditto for me as well.
Yeah, there
when
you
I played
go.
Basketball with Ray Lewis. That was when we were both in college.
Maybe we could have a reunion show with those two guys.
Do you remember like when Miami wasn't very good, they had this like dueling quarterbacks. They had this guy named Frank Costa, whose nickname was Costa Verde.
I remember Frank Costa.
He was not as good as Vinny. And then his backup, the other guy, was the name Ryan Collins.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Well, he was like from Jersey, I think. He was a pretty big recruit.
He was, because I mean, that's the thing. He was dubbed Costa Verde. He kind of like, I guess he had that Vinny look,
hair,
but he was supposed to be like, oh, this is Miami's next Vinny Testaverde. And as it turned out, it didn't work out that way because the other guy, Ryan Collins, ended up like getting him benched, you know. But anyway, we played 3-on-3 basketball too. He wasn't as good at basketball. He wasn't as intimidating at basketball as Ray Lewis was, though.
I can imagine that was an intimidating dude.
Ray Lewis? Yeah. I mean, it was fine because he wasn't happy about me, you know.
Yeah, draining one
draining
right in his face.
Draining a three right in his face, but he didn't beat me up or anything.
Well, that's a good thing.
Or have anyone stab me to death, which
is
also good.
The problem with that guy, too, it's with a guy like that, if you got into a fisticuffs, well, obviously you want to run away. You can't, but he could track you down too.
Yeah, look, if I even thought that something like that was about to happen,
I'm out of here. Yeah,
I don't even know that I would have started running. I'm pretty sure I probably would have just like started crying.
Yeah, or going into the ball formation.
Yeah, I mean,
not the face.
Because if I'd started running, I'm also pretty certain he would have caught me.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
he could run you down.
Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten far.
That's like I've always said, the last animal that you'd want to tangle with is an alligator / crocodile because they can get you in the water or out.
Yeah, and like, they've got that burst too where they can run like 30 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, they get those four legs.
They just can't zigzag though.
That's right. You got to go side to side. You got to remember that if a gator's ever chasing you. But, I mean, basically, if you never get in the ocean, you can guarantee yourself you're not going to get attacked by a shark. But an alligator.
Yeah, Sharknado.
That's true. You got to watch out for those.
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, the Braves, they're in first place. They just got swept by the Giants, though, this weekend. Jeff, are we still buying the Braves as a contender this year, or should we go man overboard now all of a sudden?
I think if the division turns out to not be very good, if the Nats are overhyped once again, they've got a chance to make the playoffs. And if that happens, you're all good. But I think there's a lot of hope and expectation for the future. And these young guys that they've been talking about have come up, and they're doing well. So that's a good thing. I just don't think for them to have a great season. Now, listen, they might win 84 games and win the division. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. I just don't think their pitching's good enough to hold up, rotation or bullpen.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, you kind of ran into that this weekend.
Yeah. Now, their lineup, I mean, the other good thing about the lineup, they got some good young bats.
Right now, the Braves are 19-14. They're 11-4 against the Mets and the Phillies. And they're 3-3 against the Nationals. They haven't played the Marlins yet. They'll play them starting on Thursday in a 4-game series. But if the Braves maintain like that winning percentage just against its own division, would that be good enough?
Probably.
You know, because the rest of they're 1-1 against the Cubs, 2-2 against the Reds. They took 2 out of 3 from the Rockies, and they just got swept by the Giants. So basically, all the damage the Braves have done in the standings at this point are against the Mets and the Phillies. Well, otherwise, they're a 500 team.
Yeah, but the good thing is that they're taking care of those guys, and it doesn't look like there's a great team in the division. Now, again, the Nationals have got the frontline pitching, and they've got Harper, so you'd probably still have to lean that way. But I still don't see them as like some scary juggernaut.
Well, they outscored the Mets last week 21-2 in a 3-game sweep, and just when you thought you were in,
They pushed you back
they
out.
They kicked you back out by getting outscored 24-9 in a 3-game sweep by the Giants at home, too.
Now, is that like the opposite of, like you were saying, the Mafia and Godfather 3 or the Roach Motel? You know, you check in, but you can never leave. The Braves just kind of pushed you back out this weekend.
Yeah. Anyway, they got the Rays and the Marlins this week, and Tampa's 15-17, and the Marlins are 13-20. So maybe the Braves can get their act together.
Is it about the state of Florida with pro baseball?
Pro baseball, and I guess the Jaguars were good last year. I was going to say pro football too. Between Tampa and the Dolphins.
It was one of those things like, well, it wasn't a great college year. Well, actually not. Central Florida and the U, but for Florida and Florida State, it sure was.
And Florida Atlantic, too. Don't forget about them.
That's right.
They were good.
Go Owls.
Lance has got it cooking.
Next head coach at?
LSU.
There you go.
Scott Frost came out last week and said that he believed that the national champion is the team that won the playoff. And so, now I guess South Florida fans, they don't like him anymore now. Since he said that, I believe the national championship team is the one that doesn't have a coach leave them for a bigger job at the end of the season.
No, I would agree with that 100%.
I believe Nick Saban is still, he's at Alabama, whereas Scott Frost left for Nebraska.
Although Saban's about to take the Colts job again, right?
What about the Packers?
Either one.
Now he's 67 now. It's past. It's over for him. He'll be 68 this Halloween, Jeff.
Golly.
Yeah.
That's, I still just say just how people in general are healthier these days. So he'll be 68 on October 31st. Bear Bryant was 69 when he died. He looked like he was 100.
Yep. Yeah.
And now, there's a great SEC con.
Who?
Coach, do you plan on living past age 69?
Oh, my God.
Do you also plan on outliving the bear?
I would be, yeah. Well, when did the bear die? Like in a year.
In a year.
Yeah, you'll be dead in a year, Emperor. All right, that's not even funny to joke about. I don't wish him to die.
No, of course not. Just joking around.
Yeah, listen.
Like I said.
We don't want Nick Saban to die, okay?
Here we go. Here we go. The tweets are going crazy.
Did you hear those guys? They said they wanted Nick Saban to die. We didn't say that.
No, we just said, do you think?
In fact, we want him to keep coaching Alabama because we want to, you know, to be the man. You got to beat the man, and we're looking forward to doing that this December in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That's what I'm talking about. Then just beat the Buckeyes in Clemson and bring it in. We're going to win it 19-20.
Well, what about 18?
This would be a bonus year.
Jeff, 2 weeks left now in the baseball season. So for Georgia, what needs to happen for regional action to return to Athens for the first time since when, 08?
2008.
Yeah.
And, of course, the team went on the road in 09 and on the road in 2011, just missed it in 12. I think Georgia, first of all, is in a regional. But for it to come here, I would say two more SEC wins would guarantee that with Florida and Arkansas the rest of the way. I think two more SEC wins and Georgia hosts.
To host. So basically just don't get swept the next 2 weekends and there will be an Athens regional.
I do believe that. And I mean, listen, the SEC tournament, things can play out, who knows. But I think if Georgia goes 17-13, and especially when you look at the non-conference wins Georgia's built up, and let's just say the Dogs split with Tech and Presbyterian, I think the Dogs have put themselves in a position. They have banked up the wins that if they could go and win two games these next 2 weekends, two or more, I believe that would be good enough to finish second in the East and get Georgia a hosting spot. I mean, the RPI, depending on where you shop, is in the top five.
So what needs to happen for Georgia to then be one of those top eight national seeds, win at least one of these last two series?
You know, I think 18 SEC wins, and yes. I think if Georgia could go 3-3 there and win at and I think 3-3 and win a game in Birmingham.
Okay.
And Georgia's a national seed.
All right.
I really think, obviously, we want to beat Tech tomorrow night, then Presbyterian, but at this point, those games are borderline irrelevant. I mean, Georgia's clinched the season series against Tech. The Dogs have won 8 straight midweekers. I mean, the RPI is so high, and the strength of schedule is in the top 6 or 7. So, obviously, you want to win and keep banking on wins. But the conference games, even though the SEC championship, unless Georgia were to sweep Florida, is probably a bit of a long shot, though the Dogs do have the second-best record in the league. Now, yeah, if the Dogs swept Florida, we'd be tied for it. But I think the conference wins are much, much, much more important at this point.
In fact, like if it rained next Tuesday, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be like the worst thing.
No.
For that you know.
And that'll probably just be a staff day. We'll literally probably have nine guys pitch one inning.
Yeah.
And you just hope you outslug those guys.
Finally, Jeff, Justify
won the
Kentucky
what a show.
Derby. And what they said was a record handle. A lot of people were firing away on the Derby this past week. And I believe it's the sixth year in a row that the favorite won the Kentucky Derby. Justify, Jeff, will Justify win the Triple Crown?
I'll say this. Justified will win the Preakness. And we'll have a shot at it for the Belmont. The Belmont's the longest one. That's why it's usually the one that upends the bid for a Triple Crown. Now, obviously, if you hadn't won the first two, you couldn't win it. But it's a rarity to win the first one and the third one or the second one and the third one. Horses that win two, the greatest percentage is you win the Derby and the Preakness.
Okay.
So, I mean, you think about it. Even during our lifetime, there have been a lot of horses that have had a shot at it.
Think
about I thought California Chrome had a good shot, and I remember the day of I texted Coach Donner. I go, "What do you think, Chrome going to do?" He goes, "Nah, it's a little bit too far. He'll be close, but won't do it." He didn't do it, but Pharaoh did it, and Raylan T. Givens has been compared to American Pharaoh. So good luck, Justified. It's exciting. Horse racing is great, and when you've got a horse that's getting a lot of buzz and a horse that's got a shot at it.
Well, it turned out, too, Justify was a mutter, which it needed to be, because that was the rainiest derby ever.
As I had a couple of my buddies were like, this is great, seeing all these women with their $1,000 outfits and their hats just covered with a garbage bag.
And then the ones, too, that walk on the track with their horses, and they were all barefoot. Like, are they walking out there in heels? Sure, they can't be, but they weren't. They all were barefoot.
No.
Meanwhile, American Pharaoh, you know what he spends his life doing now?
That's a happy horse.
According to the story I was reading today, three times a day, too.
Holy smokes.
At $200,000 per impregnation.
He is the Hugh Hefner of the horse racing world, let me tell you.
So Justify, that's your bonus if you win the Triple Crown.
Which, by the way, that just reminded me, the wink you just gave reminded me of the Richard Dreyfuss horse racing classic, Let It Ride.
Yeah.
When the horse winks at him, you know you got it.
Yeah. Three times a day.
Holy guacamole.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy, too? The Triple Crown seem to come in bunches. I think when Secretariat won in 73 – I believe that was the first time it had happened since either Citation or Omaha in either 48 or 49. Triple Crown.
Yeah, 48.
Was it Citation?
Citation, yeah.
So it didn't happen for 25 years.
Then it happened in 77 and 78.
With Seattle Slough in 78 with a firm. So it happened three times in a six-year period.
Yeah.
And now it was Pharaoh 2 years ago?
Three.
So that was 15.
Yeah.
2015, okay. So it's just weird how that stuff works out. So I kind of think it's going to happen again. And then, you know, Chrome came really close to it. California Chrome, I guess, was that the year before in 14 when Chrome won the Derby and the Preakness?
I don't remember.
It was a
great
horse.
Yeah. Then there was there have been a couple others that have taken the first two.
Well, you had, Big Brown and then, I guess, was it Barbaro that had the – that burst through the gate and wound up hurting its leg.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I'll give you a great
Wasn't there name. Like Smarty Jones?
Smarty
was that
Jones,
another one?
I think was blind in one eye, too.
Here's a list. Let's see. California Chrome the year before American Pharaoh.
So 14.
Then he had 12, I'll Have Another.
Oh, what a great name.
08 was Big Brown.
Big Brown was
Then he
a
had
great
3 years in a row, 02, 03, 04. War Emblem, Funny Side, Smarty Jones.
Great. Funny Side, I believe, with a C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he had 97, 98, 99. Silver Charm, Real Quiet, and Charismatic.
Real Quiet was a great horse.
And then before that, 89 was the last time you had two in a row, Sunday Silence.
Sunday, it was a beautiful, just a jet black horse. My favorite name for a horse that, I mean, missed it by a nose in 79 would have been three straight years. Spectacular Bid.
Yeah.
What a great name for a
And then in 81, you had Pleasant Colony. And then another horse, Ali Sheba in 87.
Ali Sheba. That was Ali Dar's offspring. And Ali Dar was the rival of Affirmed who finished second and all three in 78. They were all closer. I mean, to the deal, like, the horse just was born in the wrong year.
Right.
And most other years probably could have won the Triple Crown, but finished second.
Now, since American Pharoah, though, last 2 years, you've had three different winners of the races.
Yeah, well, that's
so
good.
So there, we haven't even gotten to that's bad for the, what is it, the Belmont, right? It's the last one.
Belmont needs a shot at the crown.
All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.